最新古太中商负超过了百分之二十。
喂，黑羊，黑羊。
Long ago, this is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them, it means for us.
And we just enjoy the fact that we have a resurrected Savior. Let's stand to our feet and applaud him. That resurrection still good today. Oh, come on. Another wave. Another wave. Man, there's hope. There's power. There's life. Life. And one more applause. Here we go. Here we go. Just in case those at home can't hear you. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Well, good morning once again, and thank you for allowing us to extend some information because we're off and running this spring season. There is so much going on. I have my Bible. How many of you have your Bible? What's our Bible attendance like? Raise them up. Here we go. Electronic Bibles. Okay, not bad, not bad. You'll see the inside your bulletin, the Wi-Fi password. Go ahead and check it out. We're going to Genesis chapter 18. We're so glad that you're here. You'll notice that the bulletin actually has the outline on the back. So we're encouraging you to jumpstart your life group by taking notes. You'll see the questions in preparation. So we'll be sharing some thoughts. God's going to bring some things to you. And you're going to take that information and you're going to make sure, we're going to make sure together that what God has for you personally, you're not going to forget. It's like, yes, guess what God showed me. And that's how we relive the miraculous health and improvement and happiness that God's doing in our lives called discipleship. Well, you know, it's our custom as we pray over the word, Lord, do that. Lord, the things that you have for us, we believe, are lasting and eternal. So remove any barrier or hindrance, both those who are joining us by live stream and those who are here. Lord, we engage you now. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you are aware, we're back at it after this Easter season. We're taking a look at Abraham once again. Our theme, as well as the sermon series, is entitled Making a Difference. And if we're going to model anybody, it's Abraham. And we've been looking at the life of Abraham, and today we're back at it. We're in chapter 18, and one of the things that we noted about Abraham is that the Bible calls him the friend of God, God's friend. Today's message is entitled, To Be God's Friend. Talk about an oxymoron. What an oxymoron actually is, it's a self-contradiction. Two words put together, it says, how can that be? One example, like fresh frozen strawberries or jumbo shrimp. What is that? Here's a couple more. Let me just throw it out there because they're out there. I think you use them all the time. Exact estimate. Here's another one. Act naturally. That's me. It just comes natural. I know that. Found missing. What? Also, genuine imitation. Another one, alone together. That's for the Van Skyox. Small crowd. Also, plastic glasses. Well, that can go on, and I don't know if you ever look them up and see those oxymorons. Probably the greatest, most outlandish is God's friend. How could that possibly be? Seriously. How can the all-encompassing, holy, perfect God be friends with flawed human? Because to be a friend means that two parties are on the same plane, enjoying same things. How can that be? That's why it's so difficult to understand. So when God calls Abraham my friend, God also calls you and me his friend. It's found in John 15:15. You may want to write that down. It's in the vine and the branches segment where Jesus says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know what his master does. I call you my friends. And I'm going to now tell you what I want. And you will be my friends if you do what I ask you to do. So if we're going to take a look at Abraham's life, this is one of those ingredients where it's like, wow, as we've been seeing some of the flaws of Abraham, to see as well as the friend of God, we ourselves are called to be God's friend as well. I want to know what those ingredients are. What constitutes a relationship with God? Because you know we're to enjoy God. We're to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. That's a given, right? Can you imagine? That means God's first. I mean, I love my wife. We're going to be soon married 37 years. If I said, honey, you are first, I love you first, and second is that cute little gal down the street, and third is that new person I just met at the pier, you think she would like that? I don't think so. I'd be out here looking for living arrangements. Lord, what is it that makes Abraham your friend? And what is it that constitutes being your friend? So as we take a look, I like it in Genesis 18. We come to that point that's so necessary for us to see. Number one, that first ingredient, spontaneity. Let's take a look at verse 1 through 5, and we'll begin there. Then the Lord appeared to him, to Abraham, by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. And he said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. And after that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. Now, verse 1, the Lord appeared. What that means? Spontaneously. When friends are friends, they don't just highlight, hey, I'm coming on in. A friend is just welcomed anytime. And here comes God. It's interesting to know because we see something that's happening. Instantaneous visitation by the Lord. I mean, Sarah doesn't have time to vacuum the tent floor. She doesn't have time to arrange Ishmael's clothing off the ground. They are there all of a sudden. That's important for us, how God works in this area. Now, we know it's God, by the way. The Church of England, every they celebrate Trinity Day, and they'll always read this chapter somewhere in there, three beings, three partial of God. But we know one is God, and the other two are angels. So if you're taking notes, you want to highlight what the text says, because verse 22, same chapter, says, then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. God was still with Abraham when the two took off. Who are those two? Well, if you look at chapter 19, verse 1, those two are angels. It literally says, now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. So God, most theologians believe this is a pre-incarnate visit of Jesus. Jesus is visiting Abraham with two angels. And so we see these three individuals that are coming. I think that's probably why Hebrews chapter 13, you may want to write that down, verse 2, it says, hey, don't forget to entertain strangers because some have unaware that they were entertaining angels. I think it's probably taken from this area. That's what's happening here. So God shows up spontaneously. God comes along. Friendships are able to withstand those disruptions, those shocks. That's why Jesus, remember he was saying in Luke chapter 11, verse 5, he says, hey, let me just tell you, let's just suppose a friend of yours comes in the middle of the night knocking on the door, says, man, give me 5 loaves of bread. What are you going to do with that friend? You can imagine. So Jesus says friends can just interrupt friends. God will do that to you. If you've never had an interruption by God, he'll come. Matter of fact, some of you may be here because you just didn't anticipate his arrival through whatever means he showed up. God's waiting for you. We usually call that prayer. Oh, I hope to visit with God in the morning and pray. He's waiting for you. He's always open for you. That's why I just love that portion in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door knock. And if any man hears my voice, opens the door, I'm coming on in. And we'll sup with him and he with me. That's the way God is. Being a friend of God, you must know to be that relationship going on, God's going to show up. He will not warn you. He'll come. So, and when he comes, mark my word, he will change the course of your life when you meet up with God. When he comes, Isaac Newton said, he wrote that the laws, the first law of motion, everything continues in a state of rest unless it is compelled to change by force that's pressed upon it. It's the law of motion. I want you to know, you might just say, oh, I'm just happy with the way things are. Oh, yeah, it's so great. Don't push me. And God shows up. So I have my own little beatitude. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break. God will show up. Do you have that kind of friendship with God? Do you let him have access to you? That's an important ingredient. Being God's friend is spontaneity all the way. Number two, humility. Take a look at verse 2, back at Genesis 18. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, 3 men were standing by him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Where? To the ground. So we see verse 1 and 2, it's the heat of the day. He's at his tent door by the shade tree. I don't know if you've ever, I enjoy the desert. You mean you could just see, it looks like a little wave of water cutting across the rocks and stones. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, like, I don't know, like Hollywood does it, where these 3 figurines just from visible to all of a sudden, right there, boom. And there they are. What does he do? Humility, he bows himself to the ground. Now, that's certainly a part of the Persian custom. You're in the midst of a person of dignity and royalty. Thank you, David V., for leading us in a worship portion like that, of bowing before the Lord. But that would be typical where a person that you know you're in the presence of somebody great, you bow your knee, and then you continue on to your face to the ground. That's Abraham. Now, why is that unique and unusual, especially for him? This dude's 99 years of age, and he can still genuflex. Huh? How about it, huh? Must be those dates and those figs. I don't know. 99 years of age. This guy, he's not just any old guy. He's wealthy. You would call him a sheik. He has 318 trained servants. They all bow to him. He sees God, and he humbles himself and bows. Literally, just he worships is what he's doing. That's what he's doing. He's worshiping. And true worship is, as we see with God's friend here, he recognized something. His focus is now on God. That's true worship. When that happens, it's always interesting when people kind of register. You can kind of, as a pastor over the years, you kind of see the ebb and flow of what worship's all about. And you have people that come along, I just couldn't get into it because the music was too loud, music was too soft, the setting wasn't right. You could see people don't have the right mentality. Our focus is to focus on the Lord. Man, that's true humility. Psalm 95:6. 95:6 of Psalm says, come, let us worship and bow down Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So, if we've done and provided the right focus, which is really humility, you're going to have some great worship. And I've got to just mention that real worship requires just two things. To start to focus in on who God is, and I don't know where and what you do to get yourself there. Usually I read the Bible. Because I can't, usually I'm tempted to read my emails before trying to pray. How many know that? Oh, they're needing prayer. But I need to focus on God. I can't worship properly, and I need to take the focus off of me. It literally looks like this. If you start to focus on who God is, and you really realize and focus on who you really are in comparison to God, you will have real worship. You will have, if any of those ingredients, those two ingredients missing, you don't have real worship. We're talking humility here. Abram had, I mean, he's a sheik, he's wealthy, he didn't have to kneel, but he did. You show me a man full of pride, and I will show you a person that cannot worship God. It's true. It's the way it is. To be God's friend, humility has to be present. Somebody said it this way, you don't impress the officials at NASA with your paper airplane you just finished folding. Imagine. Or, doesn't make sense for you to brag about your Crayola painting when you're in the presence of Picasso renderings. Or, it doesn't quite get it if you start to say you're equivalent to Einstein, all because you can now write H2O. And it really doesn't make sense if you think you are really a pretty good life when you come into the one that actually is perfect. It's the same way. I don't measure up, but when I see who God really is and I realize who I really am, it causes humility in me to really worship. Great worship. Number three, ministry. Taking a look at verse 3, let's check it out. It says, and said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. Amazing when he says, Lord, that's the word Adonai. That's really what a servant says to their master. Lord, let these things happen. What's interesting here is our point three is serve God in some capacity. So necessary. If you take a look at what Abraham does here, because he serves personally, I think that's unique, don't you? Not only does he run from the tent door to meet these individuals, but he goes after in a hurry, verse 6, and in verse 7, it says Abraham ran. He didn't just snap, hey, servants, go do this, that, while I host our company here. He went and did it personally. I'm telling you, nothing like a friend to say, whoa, let me help you. You are my friend. I'm not just going to say, hey, call this person up, and oh, yeah, here's a text message, go give that, and he'll take care of you. I will do it for you. So it's pretty important when we take a look here to serve in some capacity. I think every Christian has a ministry, should have a ministry. It's a contradiction to be a Christian and not have something somewhere that you serve. It just doesn't make sense. God is all about serving. He's called us to give our lives away. So a fellow Christian who's a friend of God doesn't have anything to do. That just does not make sense. It's an anomaly. So as we look here, and I do recognize there can be those times that people feel very frustrated and they can feel left out. Nobody notices my behind-the-scenes job. Those things happen. I get it. That's why we here at Hope Chapel, we work very hard to do our lead meetings. We do our volunteer appreciation. We pour out as much praise and recognition. We've tried to get people on the platform because it's so significant. For me, it is because every one of you are dear to God, dear to me. I don't have any problem spending the time saying, come on up here, let's let everybody know the amazing person that you are. I think that's important. But there can be those times that as a person is young in the Lord and they can think in their minds internally, I'm not getting the proper recognition I think I deserve. I'm losing steam. I'm now dissatisfied doing what I'm doing. And I want to just say to those individuals, we serve our friend, Jesus. So important. Abraham served immediately. He served personally. That's important for us to take a look at that when he did that. I like the words of Jesus. He said, this is what it's going to be like when people are around my throne in Matthew 25:40. The righteous are going to be shocked. They're going to say this, verse 40 of Matthew 25. When did we serve you? When did we do this to you, Jesus? And he said, when you did this to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. So I want to just say, you get a chance to serve Christ, your friend. It's on display by serving his body. Everybody should have a ministry. It's part of friendship. It's the way it goes. It's so significant. So Abraham, man, he ran, he hurried, he ran to the herd. You could just see that. And in the meantime, he was just so dependable. I just love that aspect. Let me just highlight, too, the significance of just ministry, because sometimes people would say, well, why should I give? It's things about Abraham being so generous. Say, well, he had the stuff, but, you know, why should we give? That motivation behind why we give, I think, is more important even than what we give. And the motivation to give is always going to be love. That's why 1 Corinthians 13:3, where it says so clearly, though I give all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So it's important when we say, Lord, I love you. I want to do this for you. I'm willing to do this for you. So generosity is so important. John Henry Jolt said this, service that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. So let's continue to do the best we can. And fourth and finally, conformity. Trust God and conform to his will. That's an amazing thing that we see here in verse 9. Then they said to him, where is Sarah your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, bearing old, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And I want to leave that question to you. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there things that you might be even considering, say, how can I be God's friend? When are these things going to happen in my life? They're just lost anticipations or dreams. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's really something you and I have to consider. Sometimes we lost focus with our great God and Savior, Jesus. He actually wants a wonderful relationship with you. Not only a son, daughter, but isn't it amazing? Calls us friends. John 15:50. No longer do I call you servant. I call you my friends. Because a servant never knows what his master's doing, but I'm going to tell you, and you'll be my friend if you do what I've asked you to do. Well, what an amazing thing. Conformity is so significant when it comes to that point, saying, Lord, I will obey. Sometimes we'll only do when we see the end result. But hey, that's no adventure in that. If you have the same morning wake-up call and the same action come, I'm glad for your security. But where's the adventure? Where's the excitement? When is God going to say, come follow me? You're my friend. Let's do this together. And the excitement of it all is to meet with your friend, Jesus, every morning. We're going to sing this song. And in so doing, let me read you this letter. I'll pull it out every now and then. And it could be a letter to any one of us. It's supposed to be Jesus writing the letter to one of his children. Perhaps this is you. Let me read it. I had to write and tell you how much I love you and care for you. And yesterday I saw you walking and laughing with your friends. I hope that soon you want to walk with me. So I painted a sunset to close your day and whispered a cool breeze to refresh you. I waited for you, but you never called. I just kept on loving you through all of this, and as I watched you, I wanted to touch you, and I spilled moonlight on your face, trickled down your cheeks, as so many tears have. I wanted so much to comfort you. The next day, I exploded a brilliant sunrise into the glorious morning for you, but you woke up so late and rushed off to work, you didn't notice. My sky became cloudy. My tears were in the rain. I really do love you. I tried to say it in the quiet of the green meadow and in the blue sky. The wind whispers my love throughout the treetops and spills into the vibrant colors of all the flowers. I shouted to you in the thunder of the great waterfalls and composed love songs for birds to sing to you. I warm you with my sunshine and perfume the air with nature's sweet scent. My love for you is deeper than any ocean and greater than any need in your heart. If you only realize how much I care, my Father sends his love. I want you to meet him. He cares too. Fathers are just that way. So please call on me soon. No matter how long it takes, I'll wait because I love you. Your friend Jesus. If I want to take a moment and have you close your Bibles, stretch your legs and stand with me. I feel the urgency of the Lord to just say, won't you become better acquainted with me? Can't you and I have an existence where there's such a relationship, we're now friends? I can see it, can you? I mean, walking it out daily with God. Spending time in such quality moments and segments of every day, you know somebody is right there with you. Let's sing this song together. God wants to be your friend. He calls you his friend. Here we go.
And who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? And is it true that you are thinking of me? Now you love me. It's amazing. Who am I that you are mindful of me? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. And I am a friend of God. Yes, I am a friend of God. Yes, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Yes, I am a friend of God. Friend of God, he calls me friend. Who full of me, that you hear me when I call. And is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. Yes, I am a friend of God. Yes, I am a friend of God, yeah. Yes, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Sing, I am. Yes, I am a friend of God. Yes, I am a friend of God. Yes, I am a friend of God. He calls me
God. Have that passage in James chapter 2, verse 23. It's in your text. It just describes man. Abraham was a friend of God. You could put your own name there. But see, friendships require some time. You had some simple ingredients. Just say, man, strengthen and bolster that friendship with the Lord. He's made it very convenient by coming on Calvary's cross and blasting through death's door. And now heaven's wide open. So wouldn't it be great to have a cool, fabulous, working relationship with God and not just wait for heaven? That's my prayer for you today. Would you just close your eyes and let me pray off that blessing? Just even taking a moment right now, you can quietly, within your heart, God sees, God knows, God hears. Say, Lord, I really do want to give you my whole life. Not sure what that looks like. A little nervous even about what would it require of me. Lord, I want to be close to you. I want my relationship with you to be everything that you want it to be for me. So, Lord, I want to thank you for this occasion right now. The Lord made this simple little title, God's Friend, resonates with us for days, weeks, months. I'm a friend of God. Let me introduce you to my good friend. Lord, may we now take you to places that could be dark, risky. And Lord, may we introduce lost people to our best friend. Jesus, we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for coming. You are dismissed. Let's go enjoy ourselves.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.